Episode number 55. Stop looking for happiness in doing more and focus on these five things instead. Welcome to the Mindset for Life podcast. This is Bethany, your coach from drbcoach.com. Coaching with power, purpose, and practical tools to help you show up with confidence. Welcome to the podcast today. I am so glad you're here. It's time to stop looking for happiness and doing more and focus on these five things instead. Yep, that's right. Today I'm going to share with you five tips and a little known secret. Stay tuned to this podcast because I'm going to give it to you at the end of our time together. In the next 10 minutes, I'm going to help you figure out what might be missing in your life. I'll share what I've learned from Martin Seligman in the field of positive psychology about happiness to help you understand how to experience more of it in your life. And I'm going to share that little known secret I mentioned a moment ago. It might surprise you, but it's going to help you in your life, your relationships, and your work. So where do we seek happiness? People spend so much time looking for happiness. We think it's going to come to us from a career. Maybe if we have the kind of job we want, we'll be happy then. Sure, career success and growth can inspire us. The work we do every day brings meaning to life. When there are opportunities to try new projects or meet new people, work is enjoyable. And then there are those parts of our work that are repetitive, monotonous, and less enjoyable. We might even change jobs or careers thinking that it's the job. Somehow the job has failed us. And we're off to another one, looking for happiness and satisfaction. Then we think it's going to come from relationships. If we get connected to the right people in our lives, we'll be happy then. Some people get married, thinking this will bring happiness. Or divorced, thinking that will bring happiness. Or we have children and look for our happiness in them. When children grow up to make different choices or have challenges, we might wonder, is it their job to make us happy? And then there's our physical health. Perhaps we realize that we would like to be in different physical shape. If we need to lose some weight to get healthier, we think about losing weight and we believe that will make us happy. The journey of weight loss is a challenging one, and it's often very difficult. I've been there myself, and I know that road very well. We think that when we are a certain size, or when we hit our weight goal, we will feel better. We will finally be happy. And so it goes. We're on an endless search for happiness. We think we need to do things to get it. We need to work harder. Or we need the right job and happiness will be the result. We need the right situation, the right relationships. Other people will make us happy. We need to have the right kind of physical health or hit the goal, and then we'll be happy. You may not have heard of this, but there's an idea called the happiness set point. There's this idea that people have a general level of happiness they experience most of the time. We call this the happiness set point. It could be temperament, personality, or something else that influences this, but each person has this general level of how happy they are from one day to the next. Sonia Libermirsky, a psychology professor at the University of California, Riverside, proposed that people's happiness levels is 50% due to genetic inheritance, which means people can only move their happiness up and down from this happiness set point. And we generally go back to that set point. The idea is that when something comes up that moves our happiness meter, we feel happier for a short time. We have a new relationship or something happens in our professional life. And initially we feel that experience made us happy. We move into a new house, we go on vacation, and again, we feel a little happier for a short time. Then, after that initial elevated level of happiness, we just go right back to our happiness set point, and we don't feel that increased happiness anymore. We keep moving up or down with a little more happiness, and then returning to our set point over time. Because of this experience we're having, we start to think that we need to do more or get more to feel happy again. Instead, we're focusing all on the external things that don't really bring lasting happiness. At this point, we've explored the ways we're chasing happiness and why we should stop looking for happiness in doing more, or in getting things, or in chasing achievement. I'd like to propose that we focus on these five things instead. That's right. Instead of running this race, looking for happiness by achieving or obtaining all these things, focus on these five things instead. Martin Seligman tells us that there are five things we can focus on every day, every week, and throughout the year. And these five things will create well-being. Our sense of well-being is just another label for happiness and life satisfaction. The five things that create happiness are pleasant or positive emotions, engagement or flow, relationships that are positive and supportive, meaning, and accomplishment for its own sake. Together, these five areas create the acronym PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. And you can look at your five areas together for an idea of what creates your own happiness. This will help you also look at it to see where you can change it, where you can increase your efforts and influence your own happiness. The idea behind PERMA and positive psychology generally is that not everything is going to work for every person. You have to pick something that's going to work best for you, and I have to work something that's going to work best for me. Let's just start with the area of positive emotion. We can increase positive emotions in a lot of different ways. One of those is cultivating gratitude. We can also develop our level of forgiveness and letting go. Our positive emotion can also be connected to mindfulness, which is really living in the present moment and not dwelling on the past or the future pervasively. We can also have positive emotions about the future, like building hope and optimism. Now, if you're a natural pessimist or if you consider yourself a realist, there is such a thing as learned optimism. You can figure out how to reframe things, even if your whole way of being does not change. On the engagement side, this is the experience where you get to use all of your skills, your strengths, your attention to a challenging task. You're going to get into a gratifying experience where you're just really lost in the moment. So basically, the activity itself is its own reward. Flow is one of those things where your skills are just barely enough for this challenging activity. So you have to stretch, and you also get this sense of gratification that you're doing something a little harder than usual. These kinds of activities help us to really get lost in the activity itself. We're not so worried about ourselves or critical of other people. Maybe we even lose track of time. If there's any kind of activity that works this way for you, like maybe reading a book, writing, programming computers, doing art, building things, gardening, being engaged in social conversations. If you're a people person, you could play musical instruments. There are so many things that are going to foster engagement for you. And it can even happen in the workplace where you feel so connected to your job and you feel such engagement there that you really lose track of time and just enjoy it. The third area, relationships. Seligman says these are fundamental to your well-being. The experiences that actually add to your positive relationships create this sense of happiness because there might be levity, laughter, a feeling of actually belonging with other people, and some kind of connection to emotional content in the relationship. So the support we get by connecting with other people, it's one of the best ways to lift our mood and a pretty reliable way to feel up. Acts of kindness for others can also do this for us. Lastly, developing strong relationships can actually increase our compassion, kindness, cooperation, empathy, and teamwork. In the fourth area, we've got meaning. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read this one straight from the University of Pennsylvania website about positive psychology. And it is that a sense of meaning and purpose can be derived from belonging to and serving something bigger than the self. There's a lot of different organizations out there you can join. religious groups. You could be part of a family group, engage in your political affiliation. You could join an organization in your workplace and maybe a social cause or other things. There are a lot of different ways to get connected to people and have a bigger sense of being part of this cause or this big idea. Anything that can get us outside of just the small self into the bigger world of ideas, purpose, and belonging is going to help us feel a greater sense of meaning overall. And then lastly, we've got accomplishment. So if you want to achieve for the sake of actually becoming more masterful, competent, and just overcoming things, this is what is being talked about here. It's not just one accomplishment after another to check a box, hit a goal, and move on. It's actually doing the difficult thing to get more positive emotion, more meaning, more relationships. Or maybe it doesn't even have to connect to any of those things. For example, maybe you're a person who just wants to achieve some difficult feat all by yourself. When you take these five things, the positive emotion, the engagement or flow, the positive and supportive relationships, the greater sense of meaning and accomplishment for its own sake, together you have an excellent recipe for a sense of well-being and, of course, a greater sense of happiness. Now, there are a lot of benefits that are going to come from this. You're going to have more satisfying relationships, and of course you will because you're pursuing them on purpose. Your physical health is going to improve. You'll have a better immune system. You'll also have fewer sleeping problems, lower levels of burnout, greater self-control, more self-regulation. You'll be able to cope with hard things better. You'll also have a more cooperative attitude, and you'll perform better at work. There's also a whole bunch of research out there that links this sense of well-being with less depression, less anxiety, a reduced risk of dropping out of school, better physical health outcomes, fewer illnesses, less disease, faster recovery from surgeries, overall, just an increased elevated sense of well-being. If you can get your happiness from focusing on these distinctive areas and your happiness is going to promote your success, then the happiness has to come first. And now here's the little known secret that I promised you. While happiness is worth pursuing, it's not the end result of our efforts. Instead, it's the way to get all those other things in life. Happiness is the way. It's a manner of living. Happiness is the journey itself. Success does not bring happiness. It's happiness that causes success. Yes, we need strategies too, in life, relationships, and work. We all need communication skills. We might need negotiation strategies, and especially at work, we need leadership skills. Yet none of these strategies or skills will bring happiness. If now is a great time for you to explore increasing happiness in your life, learning how to develop more pleasant and positive emotions, learned optimism, skills for increasing your engagement or flow, improving your relationships to become more positive and supportive, finding greater meaning in the life you're living, and setting your goals for accomplishment, I'd love to work with you to be your coach. Please visit drbcoach.com to learn more. This has been a podcast called Mindset for Life by Bethany at drbcoach.com. To find me on the web, you can visit my blog or my website at www.drbcoach.com. That's drbcoach.com.